We now continue on this tape number 5, the retreat Father gave in 1973. People that despair lose their faith. We have to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. We are the children of God. He has willed our salvation, but there is a perversity called the spirit of the world, which is all around us. The devil continually blows dust into our eyes, so that we find it most difficult to see with clarity what Christ wants us to do in our lives. It is very easy to be depressed today. It is very easy to go from dejection to despondency, and from despondency to depression. The reason why we are dejected is so many times we've been disappointed in our priests, in our bishops, disappointed with Rome. So many times we have been discouraged by the activities of other parents, by the way the children are allowed to gallop down the slope to hell with all the gathering swine. It is very easy to go from these disappointments and discouragements to be led to dejection, and then, of course, to despondency, and from there to depression, and from there to the disconsolate state, and there's only one state after that, desolation. Now, when you cry, you frighten people. The last stage of depression, you don't cry anymore, it's despair. You don't cry anymore, you die inside, you give up. Now your thoughts are on suicide. Sins against the Holy Ghost. In punching the known truth, envy at another's spiritual good, obstinacy in sin. This is a peculiarly difficult sin in a child to correct. The obstinacy that causes the child again and again to sneak out or to go with forbidden companion, to continue dating when mortal sin is imminent or has already taken place and there is no possibility that life is going to be different in the dates of the future. That's a sin against the Holy Ghost. We have now come to the 9th talk Father gave during the retreat, and it begins with several prayers, which I shall try to record at the end of this tape number 5 if room still permits. For now, we continue with the main part of the retreat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. And the compassion of the women as they approached our blessed Savior is such that he does say to them, "Weep not for me, but for thy children." We live in an age where many parents weep for their children, and weep with good reason, alas. This afternoon, I would like to speak to you about the conditions of our life, which is to say, the conditions in the church, the conditions, therefore, in our homes. The conditions, therefore, in the society that we call the world about us. It is necessary to remember that our blessed Savior did say, "For the world I do not pray." The spirit of the world is from hell. The way of the world is from hell and to hell. The values of the world are hellish. Therefore, to judge the temper of the times, one simply asks the question, how badly off are we? And if the answer be that the young of the world know the ways of the world, know the values of the world, and have the spirit of the world, then we know indeed that the age is demonic, because the little ones of this age are the parents of tomorrow, and no one gives what they do not have. They will not give Christ to their children, for they will not have faith, and so many a parent weeps. Weep not for me, but for your children. It is necessary to have a correct perspective of this age. It is necessary to understand that while the horrors of this age are enough to frighten the hardened soldier who has been blooded in many a battle, nevertheless, it is necessary not to be pessimistic, which is to say, it is necessary for our soul's salvation that our days be characterized by supernatural hope, lest we leave this world in the mortal sin of despair. It is the devil who is torturing us, not Jesus Christ, when we weep for our children. It is the devil who has done them harm. And it is the devil who has reminded me over and over and over again, you haven't got a chance. The teachers in the school are against you. The religious and the priests in the world are a source of danger to you. The good parents are mocked. The good priests are condemned. The good sisters are silenced and retired. The villains of the world are honored. The profligates of the world are sent among the children. How can children survive? How, as a parent, may I bring my children to salvation? I may not. It will take a miracle. Now, that is the liar. That is the devil who is putting those thoughts into my mind. He is reminding me, think of how far the children have descended from the innocence of several years ago. Think of how remorseless the children are in their efforts to resist me. Think of how brazen they are in their disrespect to me. Think of the dreadful companionship that they have all around. It's a wonder they are as good as they are. That is the devil reminding me of the blackest side. It is so easy to look at the blackest side of reality. But reality is not a coin that has only one face. No pancake is so thin that it does not have another side. This is what we forget. This is God's world. Every single thing in this world has been prepared by God, save sin. Has been willed by God, save sin. Has been known by God as coming into existence on this very day, everything save sin. If you have a crate of oranges that are sent to you from Florida, and they are going to arrive in your home tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock, God knew that before He made the world. Because everything in the world is from God, save sin. Many of the crosses are of your own making. Many of the crosses come from the devil. Some of the crosses come from God. We think of the good old days. We think of 40 years ago, 30 years ago, and 20 years ago, and we call them the good old days. But in those good old days, my dear brethren, it was possible to be deceived, to think that mediocrity was sufficient. But you know, and your children know, that mediocrity is never possible, and certainly not today, because of the years to come, and in the days to come, they will leave this world, are leaving this world, not as frail creatures. They're leaving this world as saints or Satanists. Now, that is the new religion that is moving across the face of the earth. Not paganism as paganism, but Satanism outright. St. Thomas Aquinas teaches us that the pagan religions of the world, one and all, either of Greek, Persia, China, whatever the civilization, Sumerian, the Babylonian, whatever the civilization, however low, however high, however ancient, a pagan civilization is always directly or indirectly a civilization that worships Satan. My dear brethren, we living in this nation know all about Satanism, don't we? Think of the horror of that thought. To give to the devil worship, to give prayer of perversity, to give sacrifice of horrendous hideousness to a creature burning in hell called the adversary of three divine persons. To give all that is owed to God to it, the damned being. Think of the perversity, and yet this is the new religion. There are people that are disgusted about the new humanism. There are people who tell us about the triumph of the revival of paganism. It's all true. But these are just the intermediate steps before direct and open, brazen, frightening Satanism. Many of the young people are short-circuiting the long journey. For them, there's no humanism. For them, there's no paganism. It's just a direct thrust. one leap into Satanism. It's all true, but you must keep a perspective. If you live in this age of horror and you do not succumb, then you will be a saint. If you live in this age of horror, you must understand that he is not the king of the universe. He is a plunderer. He's only a creature. Satan bothers God as much as a puff of smoke is able to knock me on my back. He's only a creature. He is an adversary only by the permissive will of God. It is not because of his power that he resists God. It is not because of his intelligence that he resists God. He is a thing. He is a creature. He was made. Every little boy and girl that dips their hand in water in the holy water fount and makes the sign of the cross is practicing an exorcism that keeps the devil cowering and cringing far away from the child. That's the power of the devil. He has no power until voluntarily we place ourselves within the perimeter of his existence of power. Now, we are living in an age where there is talk of ecumenism. It's a big word, and it doesn't mean anything. I am about to read to you from a very old book about exorcism. Every priest in the world that is properly ordained has the power to perform exorcism. He may privately and simply perform the exorcism in the confessional for a bad penitent, in a hospital room, wherever he meets the exercise, direct and unmitigated, of the devil. Simply and privately, any priest may do so. But solemnly and publicly, only one priest of the diocese is commissioned by the bishop of the diocese to be the official exorcist of the diocese. That means that when he performs the exercise of his power, there has been an official judgment, not the judgment of a priest. This is the official judgment now of the church. Here is a true case of possession. Therefore, there will be two witnesses, and everything will be written down. Here is an account. I have related how Almighty God permitted evil spirits to possess a certain person called Nicolas Arby of a town in France. The possession took place in the year 1565. This is what was written down as the devil spoke. When the strange circumstances of Nicolas' possession became known everywhere, several Calvinist preachers came with their followers to expose this Polish plot, as they say. Now on their way, the devil saluted them mockingly and called them each by name and told them, "You have come in obedience to me." One of the preachers took his Protestant prayer book and began to read it. The devil laughed at him and, putting on a comical face, said, "Oh, ho, my good friend, do you intend to expel me with your prayers? You think that will cause me any pain? Don't you know they're mine? I helped to compose them." "I expel thee in the name of God," said the preacher. "You," the devil said mockingly, "you? You will not expel me either in the name of God or in the name of the devil. Did you ever hear one devil driving out another?" "I am not a devil," said the preacher. "I am a servant of Christ." "A servant of Christ indeed! What? I tell you, you are worse than I am. I believe, and you do not want to believe. Do you suppose you can expel me from the body of this miserable wretch? Go first and expel the devils that are in your own heart." The preacher took his leave, and in going away, he turned up his eyes and cried, "O Lord, I pray thee, assist this poor creature." "And I pray Lucifer," cried the spirit, "that he may never leave you, but always keep you firmly in his power as he does now. We'll go about your business now. You're all mine. I'm your master." That, my dear brethren, is frightening to consider. That means the religions of the world have been composed by a creature, and the creature is called the devil. He has inspired human beings as to what they should write and what they should teach and what they should preach and how they should separate themselves from Rome, separate themselves from Christ, separate themselves from the Blessed Mother, and has given them the ideas that they've used in their arguments as they charge the Church with infamy. It has ever been thus, and it is so today. Therefore, as I told the children yesterday, be he in a Roman collar, be he famous, be he worded, be he rich, be he powerful, be he a person of reputation, whoever he be, whoever she be, if he or she contradicts your mother and father and tells you nonsense, you are listening to a human being who is mouthing the words of Satan. When your parents err, and they seldom do, as I told the children yesterday, they err because of love. Every time you resist them, you sin, because you err not from love, but you err by violating the fourth commandment, which I insist does not say, obey your parents. It says, honor thy father and mother. You give them obedience, and you give them respect, and you even give them reverence. Those men or women in print, on television, in classrooms, speaking to you, whoever they be, even if they be priests or bishops, if they contradict your parents and tell you don't obey them, don't listen to them, don't trust them, don't let them know anything, whatever they say, you are listening to the devil, who is speaking through the lips of a bad-intentioned, bad-minded human being who is just a creature acting in defiance of the known will of God. What is the known will of God? The children are to be brought up in the love and fear of God. My dear brethren, this perspective that I'm suggesting that you have is, it's God's world. Just because there's sound and fury all about us, just because there's demolition and destruction, just because so many people are profoundly depressed and with good reason worried, that does not mean that we have it all in our little minds and that our judgment is correct and that there's no hope and it is all over and we are abandoned and the worst can be expected for our children. You are forgetting all about divine providence. Not a sparrow falls, remember? The very hairs of thy head are numbered, remember? Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavenly burdened, and I will refresh you. Though your sins be as scarlet, I shall make them white as snow. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor might, nor depth, nor height, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. That is the great deception of this age. Multitudes of Roman Catholics believe that, one and all, we are being separated from the love of God as though creatures could do it. I am the only creature that can do it. If your children go astray, or have gone astray, or you fear that they'll go astray, they are still only yours on loan. God is more concerned than you are. God has power, and God has wisdom, and God has mercy. God wants those children home. When you have done all that you can do, confess that we are weak and miserable and wretched servants, and leave the rest to God, and pray for the children's conversion, and leave things to God. Do all within your power, and when you can do no more, leave things to God. You see, we live in an age with so much paganism that we are being affected by it. We are beginning to lose the clarity of vision that was once ours. given to us in the sacrament of baptism, given to us each time that we receive the sacrament of penance and the sacrament of Holy Eucharist. Each time we have the privilege of receiving a sacrament, be it extreme unction, or the sacrament of matrimony, or the sacrament of confirmation. There was a time when we were clear, but now the dust is in our eyes. The dust of new horrors, the dust of new profanations, the dust of activity. All day long and every day, there is more and more to discomfort us and discomfort us. With good reason are we heavy-hearted, but that's the human side. What about the supernatural side? The people of other ages, not perhaps so terribly tormented, not surely so terribly tormented. They had a vision of what the world was about because they knew their catechism. They could not read and they could not write. They were what we call the primitives. They were the first civilization of barbarians that had been converted. But they had a view that we once had and few of us still have. Here is a prayer to wash away from your mind so much of that which is true in itself, but it's only true insofar as it is a human judgment. Take a look upon that cross. See that man in the middle and the two men around him. He says that he is the Son of God. See the spit. See the mask of blood and dust. See the withering in agony. See the helplessness. You call that the Son of God? Him? It? With the eyes of faith, we know that is the triumphant Jesus Christ, King and Victor. But you need the eyes of faith. You must have the supernatural to see Christ in his victory. Over there on the wall is a small closet, and in there you go, and you have a mortal sin, an immortal sin, an immortal sin. One more terrible than the other. And when you come out, you are a temple of the Holy Ghost? Who believes that nonsense? Except for the soul that has supernatural faith, it's not impossible to believe. You have heard this prayer before. It is ancient. It is 1500 years old, and the world was nearly all pagan and barbarian. I arise today through a mighty strength, through the invocation of the Most Blessed Trinity, through a belief in the threeness, through a confession of the oneness of the Creator of creations. I arise today through the strength of Christ's birth and his baptism, through the strength of his crucifixion and his burial, through the strength of his resurrection and ascension, through the strength of his descent for the judgment of doom. I arise today to the strength of the love of cherubim, in obedience of angels and the service of archangels, in the hope of the resurrection to meet with reward, in the prayers of patriarchs and the predictions of prophets, in the preaching of apostles, in the faith of confessors and the innocence of virgins and the deeds of righteous men. I arise today to the strength of heaven, the light of the sun, the radiance of the moon, splendor of fire, speed of lightning, swiftness of the wind, depth of the sea, stability of the earth, firmness of the rocks. Nothing has changed. The world has ever been thus: sunrise, sunset, rain, seasons, always and ever the threeness and oneness of the Creator, overseeing all, guiding all, directing all, supporting all, protecting all, and inspiring his creatures. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me. That's true yesterday, today, this day. Through God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's hand to guide me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me from the temptation of vices, from everyone who desires me ill, afar and near, alone, and in any multitude. Did you ever think of that? Your children haven't got a chance. Think of the pornography. Think of the socialism. Think of the drugs. Think of the promiscuity. Think of the bad companions. Think of the bad movies. Think of the television. Think of the men who have aged as they gave their entire lives, 18 hours a day, for the damnation of children, decade by decade. The demons are all around. Think. And it's all correct, according to human judgment. But you left out the supernatural. I arise today, God's strength to support me, God's might to protect me, God's wisdom to lead me. We've left out God in everything, haven't we? God chose to save me from the snare of the devil, from temptation, from vice, from everyone who desires me ill, afar or near, alone or in a multitude. I summon today all these powers between me and evil, angels, saints, the Holy Family, Saint Joseph, Our Lady, Jesus Christ, the three divine persons between me and evil. I summon today all these powers between me and evil, against every cruel, merciless power that opposes my body and soul, against the incantations of false prophets, against the black laws of pagandom, against the false laws of heretics, against the craft of idolatry, against the spells of witches, against every knowledge that corrupts man's body or soul. Christ, shield me today against poison, against burning, against drowning, against wounding, so that reward may come to me in abundance. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me. Christ on the right, Christ on the left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise. Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me. Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me. Christ in the eyes that see me. Christ in the ear that hears me. I arise today through almighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through a belief in the threeness, through a confession of the oneness of the Creator of creations. So there is a devil. So your children are subjected to the powers of darkness. Who is on their side? Who is on your side? Human judgment said the boat was sinking. The men were fishermen. They were professional. They knew the boat was shipping water and they could not survive. And in the tumultuousness of wave and wind, they cried, "Lord, save us! We perish!" The miracle instantly, "Peace, be still." And then the rebuke. No tender words of compassion. "Oh, you poor fellows, you need not have worried. Oh, I know why you're upset. After all, everything indicated we were sinking. But oh, you should have known better." No, no. The rebuke. "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" Mothers and fathers, that is still addressed to you. Pray for your children. Suffer for your children. Rebuke your children. Punish your children. Correct your children. Advise your children. Warn your children. Love your children. Talk to your children. Understand your children. Be good to your children, but they aren't yours except on loan. They are God's. Do you think he wants the fiend from hell to devour them eternally? Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? This is the present tribulation of the cross, the darkness of the earth and heaven, as Jesus Christ is crucified again. Multitudes stream down, no longer blaspheming, coming down in silence. And there is he saved, himself he cannot save. Oh, they say yet no more. They are terrified. The world is dark, and the earth is cracking, and there are signs that cause the Roman centurion to say, "Truly this was the Son of God." This is coming. And our blessed Savior, the night before in the garden, remember the oppression as Jesus did sweat blood, as he was filled with fear and sadness unto death. It is to come to us, because the mystical body of Jesus Christ is not only going to suffer bloody persecution, but we will endure everything that Christ endured. The day is yet to come when we will cry, but we won't, the very words of Jesus Christ, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But before that comes, we will have the heaviness and the despondency and the depression and the sadness and the anguish. My soul is sorrowful unto death. Jesus Christ was ready to die from the fear and the sadness and the heaviness and the dimness of souls. That came to him. And so it comes to us. But remember, that was the devil's hour. He wished to see Christ brought to death. Christ permitted him to have his way insofar as his creature was already, without knowing it, effecting the circumstances that would bring to pass the surrender of Jesus Christ to death. When Christ would cry out, "It is consummated," and bowing his head, would die, and give himself up in that last will act to the total will of his heavenly Father. My meat is to do the will of him who sent me. We are encountering those conditions today. The devil roams the face of the earth, seeking the damnation of souls. That is the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel, which used to be said at the end of all Masses, the world over, that were low Masses. He goes about the world like a ravening lion, seeking whom he may devour. He knows he must do it with a frenzy of activity, because his time is up. Very soon now she is coming. And thou shalt lie in wait for the heel of the woman, and she shall crush thy head. The triumph of the reign of Jesus Christ the King is coming, this time, though, through his Blessed Mother, the creature of humility, the creature of purity, to come in the age of lust, to come in the age of pride, to destroy forever the creature who has attempted to put hell in the heart of everybody, so that one day he might have everyone in hell. The hell that he tries to put in good women and good men is the mortal sin of despair. You think you are suffering? You do not know what suffering is until you have despaired. Please God, never another human being on the face of the earth will despair. But there is suffering when you meet it. No cancer of the brain ever tortured like despair. That is the remorseful cruelty of the fiend from hell. He cannot wait to have us in hell to torture us. He begins to torture even here on earth with the mortal sin of despair. It is so easy to despair. Look at the circumstances and the times. Look, what's coming? Have you already forgotten? This is God's world. God has arranged everything in my life except sin, mine and the sins of others. There is a purpose in my having been born in this century and living in this decade because of the mysterious design of divine providence. For, pathetic me, I have been asked to be one of the last defenders of the very thin line of soldiers that fight for Jesus Christ. The last in line, not St. John Chrysostom, not St. Augustine, not St. Therese, not St. Catherine, us. Why? Perhaps because we are so pathetic. That is why Jesus Christ wants us as soldiers. Because we are so feeble that we must, in humility, get down on our knees and tell God, "It is too much. I can do no more." Because Christ's greatest warriors are the meek and humble of heart. Learn of me. Oh, I would love to be like Jesus Christ. Oh, I wish that I could be a saint, to be like Christ. What did Christ say? Learn. Learn what? Meekness and humility. The power of the devil? Where is the devil? He is in your house. He is in the kitchen. He is in the bedroom. He is in the attic. He is in the cellar. Who said so? Here is the ritual blessing for holy water. God's creature salt, I cast out the demon from you by the living God. Are you surprised? Before the priest is able to bless holy water, he must exorcise the salt and then bless the salt. Then he exorcises the water and blesses the water. Then he mixes the salt in the form of the cross three times and mixes salt into the water. Then you have holy water. Holy water is an exorcism. A child sprinkling it drives the demons away. It is a sacramental. It is a means of sanctification. You have all much holy water in your home, don't you? As an exorcism and as a blessing, you sprinkle it in times of storm. You dip your thumb and anoint the forehead of the sick child in the form of the cross, giving a mother or father's blessing as a sacramental. You use it every day, don't you? Now here's the surprise. Where is the devil? God's creature salt, I cast out the demon from you by the living God, by the true God, by the holy God, who ordered you to be thrown into the water spring by Elias to heal it of its barrenness. May you be an exorcised salt, a means of help for those who believe, a medicine for body and soul to all who make use of thee. May all evil fantasies of the foul fiend, his malice and cunning, be driven afar from the place where you are sprinkled. Let every unclean spirit be repulsed by him who is coming to judge both the living and the dead and the world by fire. Amen. End of the blessing. Almighty and everlasting God, we humbly appeal to thy mercy and goodness to graciously bless this creature, salt, which thou hast given for mankind's use. May all who use it find in it a remedy for body and soul, and may everything it touches or sprinkles be freed from uncleanness and any influence of the evil spirit. Then the exorcism for the water. God's creature, water, I cast out the demon from you. In the name of God the Father Almighty, in the name of Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, may you be purified water, and the power to drive afar all the power of the devils. In fact, to root out and banish the enemy himself with all fallen angels. We ask this power of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming to judge both the living and the dead and the world by fire. Then the blessing is given to the water. O God, who commands all, establish this most wonderful mystery in the substance of water. Hearken to our prayer and pour forth thy blessing on this element, now being prepared with very purifying rites. May this creature of thine, water, be used in thy mysteries, and be endowed with grace to serve, to cast out demons, banish disease. May everything that this water sprinkles in the home and the gatherings of the faithful be delivered from all that is unclean and hurtful. Let no breath of contagion hover there, nor tint of corruption. Let all the wiles of the lurking enemy come to nothing, etc., etc. So, if you think the devil is everywhere and the powers against you are demonic, you're right. You haven't got a chance. These are fallen angels, these demons. These are the creatures of unimaginable power and inconceivable intelligence. How can you resist them? You can't without God. With God, why, the little child putting the finger into the holy water fount, making the sign of the cross, drives away legions of demons. Legions. Yes, the times are bad, but don't you understand, mothers, that you are God's instrument in creating life? Don't you understand, fathers? You are God's chosen instrument in creating life. Don't you know that these souls are not boys, are not girls? The child of the womb is a princess, destined to live forever in the court of Christ the King. This is a prince on the day of birth, destined to live in the court of the Empress of Heaven, Queen of Angels and Queen of Saints. Do you think that God wants a child that he has sent into this world who is incorporated by sacrament of baptism into the mystical body of Christ? Do you think that God wants a child who is an heir to the kingdom of heaven? Do you think that a child who was made to the image and likeness of God? Do you think a child whose ransom was purchased by the passion of Jesus Christ and his death? Do you think that God wants creatures called demons to have their way and bring this soul to hell, and he do nothing and leave it only to you? My dear brethren, come to your senses now. Give the devil his due. Let him take all the curtain calls he wants. Take credit yourself for credit due for all harm you have done to your own family. Take the responsibility, and when everything is said and done, the world and the flesh and the devil, the triple source that gives us the concupiscence to fight a flesh fight of life, and the sevenfold capital sin that give us the treasury of all the moral defects of the world, when everything has been said and done, do you think that's all that there is in the universe? Where are the guardian angels for the children? Are they to ever be thwarted and never do anything for the child's salvation? What about the tears of the Blessed Virgin Mary? Christ said to her, "Dost thou not know my hour has not come?" He refused, but our Blessed Mother simply turned away and said to the servants, "Do all the things whatsoever he doth command you." The miracle was performed just because Mary asked. How about when Mary is crying as Mary asks? And it's already God's child, and it is already a child that he died in agony to save. Do you think the devil has a say in everything? Do you think the bad woman and the bad man? Do you think the bad priests and the bad nuns? Do you think that the destruction of the church, seemingly, and the destruction of America, factually, is a sufficient reason for despair? This is God's world. There is a divine but mysterious, merciful, and holy, just purpose in all that comes into my life, save my sins and the sins of others. God's ways are not our ways. I have some reminders for you. If you, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will not your Heavenly Father know how to give good things to them that love him? For our present light affliction, which is for the moment, prepares for us an eternal weight of glory. Now the story. Fix in your memory what I have said this afternoon after a question. The question: Father, how can a handful of us be right? You mean to say that all the one-time good priests and sisters, you mean the one-time good bishops, you mean Rome, you mean the learned university professors and the professors in the seminaries, you mean all these good men and women who used to go to church with us, you mean they're all wrong and I'm right? Me? That's the devil who's talking. Don't answer the question. The devil is the one who put the question to you. Don't answer it. Don't pay attention. Of course you're right. How do you know you're right? Are you living now as you lived in the day of your first communion, the day of confirmation, the day of your marriage, the birth of the first child, the birth of the 12th child? Do you still pray the same way? Do you still believe all you ever did believe? How could you be wrong? Oh, but look at the multitude of brilliant people who asked you the question. The devil. That's temptation. Don't answer it. Don't pay attention to it. I am about to say a Mass in a few minutes. It is the Mass I said on the day I was ordained. It is the Mass that I went to when I was a seminarian. It is the Mass that I went to on the day that I received First Holy Communion. It is the Mass my mother went to when she made her First Holy Communion. It is the Mass that my father's great-grandfather went to when he made his First Holy Communion. It is the Mass. We will continue on side B.